Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBVTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Hello, everyone. My name is Donna McKeithen, and I am founder of Exodus International Group. We are a tour and meeting planning company located in Alexandria, Virginia. We provide quality, cost-effective vacations, cruises, and tour packages, as well as historical and educational programs for groups and individuals. Also, call us if you need international meeting assistance for your business or church. We are your cultural connection to the continent of Africa. Visit places like Ghana and Senegal and the Gambia and Mali and South Africa. Also travel to Europe and Asia and the Caribbean and South America. And we offer many other destinations around the world. Interested in international business or coach class tickets? Give us a call. Our staff has over 20 years of experience in the tourism and travel industry. Visit our website at www.xisandxrayodusint.com or call us at 703-971-9660. Thank you.
If we could, we'd ask you to come in and have a cup of tea. You notice the aromatic tea from Vietnam, sweeter with delicious organic honey from West Africa, and poured into the beautifully designed and comforting tea bowl from Japan. You might snuggle up to the soft throw from India on the couch. The conversation's so good, we light a couple of candles from the American Northwest. We'd become friends. We take care of each other. And with that particular gift women have, we'd make each other stronger, happier, better, and more beautiful. We like to bring you the world. We like to bring you joy. You deserve it. It's our sole purpose.
Good morning, good morning. This is the Media Mix Live, Pure Marketing Madness. We're here today on Master Griot Radio, a program of the National Black Business Trade Association's Radio Live. Our special guest this morning is Robin Caldwell. She is a principal of Jay Sanders. And today we are talking about public relations, publicity, and marketing. What's the difference? Is there a difference? So we're calling on an expert, and our expert today is Robin. And we'd like to say hello, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Jackie.
Good morning. Good morning. So first, to start off, and tell us a little bit about you. Who is Robin Caldwell?
Oh, that's a good question. That's one that I ask myself daily. I reside in Cleveland, Ohio, and in fact, I was born and bred here. Professionally, I've been doing public relations consulting and publicity for probably almost 25 years.
Wow.
But I tell people it was much longer because I was born to do what I do. I love what I do. Let's see. Why don't you ask me some questions, Jackie? It's much easier. Let me explain to the listening audience. Old school publicists and PR people are used to being in the background. We are not used to being in the foreground. So I ask everyone's forgiveness. I'm used to telling somebody what to ask my clients and not accustomed to being asked questions much about myself. So I do thank you again for that. But I love publicity. I love PR. And I think anyone who's visited the page I have on the group I started on Black Business Space sees my passion. And I'm also a former college educator that taught communication. And one of my biggest things is making sure that people are informed about their choices and even in their opinions. That's one of the things I was taught, is that if you're going to have an opinion, it should be informed on facts. And so I like to inform people, especially business people, about this option, this thing called publicity, this other thing called public relations, and the differences between PR, publicity, and marketing. They hold hands with one another, but they're definitely not the same.
Well, thank you. It's real good information. I was sparked totally by the topic, you know, by a blog that I read on your page on Black Business Space. And if you want to check it out, people, just visit www.blackbusinessspace.com. You can take advantage of internet marketing and the technology and open up a new window. Now, if you're a member, just search for Robin Caldwell, and you can go to her page. If you're not a member, you need to start a profile first. But to understand Robin's company and her services, you can visit www.jstandard, that's jstandard.com. So just open up a new window, go to jstandard.com as we go through the show, and you can follow along and get a fuller understanding. Now, I always knew that public relations and publicity and marketing were not all one and the same. We've always felt that public relations and publicity was a facet of marketing. And but I've always seemed like many people confuse public relations and publicity with promotions. Like,
yeah,
if you say publicity, a lot of people think you also mean promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that kind of common in some, in, you know, understanding what I would want people to do if I asked them to do PR work for me. You know, I would have to, like, well, look, this is just what I want you to do. But then I went to saw your blog, and you gave a really clear definition. So, you know, I would love to just start there. Just let us know what, you know, what their basic definitions are, and then expound on, you know, what each field accomplishes.
Technically, public relations, the operative word in public relations would be relations, and that is anything, well, there are a series of functions that a person can perform under the umbrella of public relations. Public relations is primary goal is to establish a link or a connection between, say, for example, you, the business owner, and all the constituencies that you serve. And that can be anyone from your employees to your clients to people that you want to know more about your good works or the things that you do that are unique to your organization or your structure. Public relations is the umbrella. And I guess the strategy, let me go back a little bit. If there is a strategy, and there indeed ought to be, it should start with marketing. Any public relations campaign is, especially on a corporate level, and especially on, I guess, even a small business level, should be thrust by your marketing plan. What are the marketing goals? Who is it that you want to talk to about your product? And marketing's chief goal is to sell. It's to sell the public on this thing that you have, and also to drive literal sales for a company. So whatever the brand marketing goal is, and whatever the marketing goal is, dictates what the PR strategy will be. The PR strategy will decide what elements will be involved. Will that be publicity? Will it be promotions? Or what form of publicity and what form of promotion? And I guess that's just the best way for me to explain it. And honestly, not because I am simply a public relations consultant, but I've seen so many wonderful projects fail because all of those elements aren't holding hands with one another and they're not working together. And I've seen a lot of wonderful things fail because there was no strategy, especially no marketing strategy. Now, marketing, if you don't mind me continuing, marketing looks like, for example, e-blast, and that's just on a consistent basis, keeping the name out there. It's a very expensive form of keeping the name out there, but sometimes you have to do it. And it, the extension is, or the premise is that in advertising and marketing is that you say something and you say it and you say it and you say it again, and ultimately somebody's going to pay attention, which is right down to a company picking their tagline for the product, or picking a theme song that we could easily identify with. You know, I know now if I can, the first three bars, I can tell you the Coca-Cola theme song, probably from about 20 years ago, of course, but I know Coca-Cola in the first three notes. I know Coca-Cola, even if Coke isn't on an emblem, but I know that logo that they've used. That's a part of their brand. That stated, the public relations side of that is that Coke or any other company or any other entity makes a concerted effort to stay within the guidelines of that brand, of their mission, of their vision. And the PR efforts is to make sure that, let's see, events, all kinds of things, from events to keeping news releases out there in the public circulated about the company's their stock issues, their any changes that they're doing with the product. That would be PR. Publicity, on the other hand, are opportunities that are essentially free advertising. You don't pay, you pay the publicist, obviously, but you do not pay for the free advertising. For example, publicity is the function that talks to a journalist and suggests to a journalist, you know what, I think this would make a great story about my client. In my business, we call that pitching, when you pitch a story. And then promotions, on the other hand, would be, okay, now that we've got all these other things in place, the promotion element would be, let's tie in with our advertising campaign, a contest, a scholarship. Let's do the Coca-Cola Scholars. Now, and that's a form of promotion, and that keeps your product name out there. It keeps your name out there, but it also associates your name with a very good project, so a scholarship and kids. So that's basically how all of those things work together. It's a layering effect, but, and again, it's very difficult to have one and not have the others, and it's extremely unfair, but which happens all the time, for people to expect that one element is the magical element, the one thing that they need in order to make their product, their service work, or product prosperous, I should say, profitable.
Okay. Well, this has been very, very informing, because I do think, just as a whole, many people in, even people in the marketing industry have a tendency to really get it confused, and I find that there are a lot of people, I guess especially because of the internet marketing, I think with this facet and so many people can go on the internet and market, that really left out the element of public relations and you know, publicity, and they don't understand that one, that core need, it still needs to be part of your, you know, of your marketing plan, but I think many, I'm realizing many people really don't understand what the true goal of it is. And, you know, even if when they're doing press releases, I don't think they understand the goal of the press release. What is the purpose? And so it's just good information. And as you stated, for everyone, it's something that's necessary for all businesses. So here on the Media Mix Live, we cover everything from terminology to strategies. And our goal here at the Media Mix Live is to understand what optimal advertising and sponsoring is. So our goal is here to help our audience understand what it is, so when they do choose to advertise or sponsor, that they're strategic about it and they understand truly what it is And for the small business that sometimes shies away from advertising and sponsorship, to for them to show how to use it strategically and to use it to their advantage, and it can be cost-effective. It doesn't have to be super expensive. But the first thing we start with is a plan. You have to have a plan. You need a plan for, if you have a business plan, then you have a marketing plan. And as Robin stated, plans, the goals, you start with your goals. That lets everyone know the objective, where we need to get to, and public relations and publicity and other aspects are how we're going to get there. They help tell us how, but if we need to know where we're going in order to have the best outcomes. So we're going to get ready to go to a commercial, but after we come back to from the commercial, I'd like for you to talk to us, Robin, about we're business people, we're marketing professionals. How do we go about selecting a good PR person? What should we expect from them, from a publicist? Do most publicists do public relations and PR? Are there, you know, various specialties? You know, explain the industry. Tell us a little bit so we would know how to select the proper person for our team. Okay?
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
All right. We want to hear a little bit from the lockstep.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands.
I apologize, audience. I hit the wrong button. That was my niece, though. She just released a new CD.
Dion, I have imparted in you a witty and much needed gift, an invention. You shall go forth, and you shall call it the lockdown. Now go, spread it amongst our people.
They say that people with dreadlock hair have no place in corporate America. They say if your hair is long, you're either immature or rebellious. I say there's a subtle beauty in restraint. We must learn to lock it down.
Everybody who's headed for Cali, cause the Black Business Space Value Tour is headed to Los Angeles, California for the 4th annual LA Black Book Expo at Exposition Park, Saturday, June 14, 2008. But before we get to Cali, the New York Black Expo has been rescheduled. But ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. So in the BBS family fashion, the BBS Value Tour will do New York at BBS member Dion Leftenis, creator of the Lockdown, National Product Launch and Rock the Lockdown Fashion Show on May 10, 2008 at the National Black Theater in Harlem, New York. Now, what does this mean for you? You get an even better bang for your marketing buck. Two cities for the price of one, as if the deal wasn't already a steal. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Our next stops are Chicago, Philadelphia, and back to L.A. for even larger venues, so the investment will increase. Get in while the getting's good. Join BBS's ITV Girl and others in maximizing this relationship while creating vertical paradigms. Request your ad and sponsor package by joining the online experience at www.bbsvaluetour.com, calling 1-888-846-8255, 9811 or email info@bbsvaluetour.com. Come on aboard and join in. The BBS Value Tour is bringing the value of community, UNITY, to a city near you, because what else is black love like?
Okay, we're back here at the Media Mix Live, Pure Marketing Madness. And our topic today is public relations, publicity, and marketing. What's the difference? Our expert guest today is Robin Caldwell, principal of J Standard, and she is the publicist, public relations expert, and she's going to let us know right now about how do you choose a PR partner.
I think actually the best thing, excuse me, hay fever. One of the first things I tell people is to think critically. Think critically about what your needs are specifically, because if you don't know what they are, you can easily fall prey to someone who can tell you what you need, and it still not work on your behalf. So if you know clearly what you need in terms of, even if you aren't completely sure what PR, publicity, or marketing is before you hire a consultant or a practitioner, it's really good to know what you need, what you perceive to be a need, even if you know what it looks like. Well, you know, I think I want an ad in a magazine, or I think I want this. If you can have that kind of thing in place, it's much easier to kind of wade through what and who will work for you. I also tell people, do your homework. The reason why I put the definitions on the website is because I want people to know clearly what I do and do not do. I want people to know clearly what it is that they should expect from anyone that calls themselves a PR consultant or practitioner, or who calls themselves a publicist or calls themselves a marketing expert. Thirdly, anyone who calls themselves an expert, I would run in the opposite direction from. I am continually learning about my own discipline. I have done it for 25 years. I have 2 degrees in this particular area. I've taught it, but I'm always, always on top of my game because it changes. The primary elements of it do not change. The goals do not change, but the procedures could change on some level. The other thing is, I'm going to start with a public relations consultant. You want someone that has a breadth of experience from anything from putting together a news conference to putting together an event for a fundraiser, from doing corporate newsletters, to doing internal work with stockholders or whomever. You want someone who has that ability to make assessments on the wider scale and who can break them down into the smaller parts to essentially tell you what you need and do not need, and who can actually, a person who has driven a campaign, that would be the PR consultant. If you're hiring a publicist, primarily anyone who says that they're a publicist is a former journalist. And, you know, writing for the church newsletter, doing, you know, I don't know, writing letters for someone. I mean, there's so many different ways that people describe themselves as journalists. In my mind, a journalist is someone who actually got paid to work for a credible news source, be it a daily newspaper or a weekly newspaper or an online source where they have to use proper editing tools. Because a publicist, I'd say 70% of what a publicist does is write. They're constantly writing press releases, press kits, pitch letters to the media, asking people, be it a pitch email or a pitch, literal pitch letter, on your behalf, you want to be represented well in writing. And they should also know, as a journalist, what turns other journalists on. What are the stories? Which means that they have to read the newspaper and they have to be on top of current events, because ideally you want someone who can help tie in what it is you're doing with what is out there and what people are looking for in terms of stories, in terms of a publicist, you want one that has relationships with media, at least knows how to go get it, to create those relationships. So, I mean, that's it for a starter. For marketing person, since I am not marketing per se, I really can't say, but I would hope that they would have a solid business background and have done some consulting work as a marketer in one capacity or another, again, in creating a vision for a company or a program where they actually have the experience of working with a PR consultant and a publicist, if you will, or even a promotions person, promotions specialist.
Okay. All right. I think that gave us a lot more clarity. So you feel that, you know, most businesses should have either a PR person or publicist on your team? Is it someone that you can – I'm losing my thought as far as the word, but on retainer. Is that a type of position that you can have on retainer?
Absolutely. In fact, your PR consultant and your publicist actually should bill, if they are not a member of your company, if you are hiring out, hiring or contracting someone to do the work. Maybe your listeners would love to hear this. I was going to do a blog on this on Black Business Space. But we're to bill, according to the ethics of our profession, similarly to a lawyer. So we can either do a monthly retainer with a client, or we can do an hourly, or we can do it flat fee project, on project per project basis. But it's knowing when something is a campaign and a project versus something that would require more time, as in a retainer client, versus something that, for example, I have a client who calls me all the time for advice, and he pays me. He pays me on the quarter hour. I would say this, that hopefully in planning a business that people build in a budget for marketing, which includes a budget for the PR consultant, which you would only really need on an interim basis. You need the PR consultant to work with the marketing person to devise a plan of action that would involve publicity and promotion. But, yeah, I think everyone needs a team. I don't think that, and you also need a team. If I have to give any advice to any of the business owners that are listening to this, it is that too often we want to bring our friends in on things, or too often we want to bring in so-and-so because they say they did something. My thing is bring in competency first. Competency, you need integrity, and you need someone who will be flat-out honest with you. We're all surrounded by yes people on some level. I think a business person cannot afford to be surrounded by yes people. You need absolute honesty because you want to grow, and you want to make sure you're surrounded with people who will not sabotage that growth by either kissing up in all the wrong ways, or by being incompetent, because at the end of the day, your practitioner, your consultant still represents your company. I have people that I don't even tell anyone that I've ever worked for, not because of anything I've done, but because their image and their reputation, I don't really want it to rub off on me, and vice versa. So, I mean, well, I know that was a bad plug for my business, but I'm just saying that I would just suggest that you really need to be guarded about the people you let into your circle and that you have working on your behalf.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Robin. This has been really great information, and I think it can really help people make a much more informed decision. And a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs, you know, because of, you know, the way they start, a lot of times they feed and fish through information. And sometimes what you have in a book doesn't, you know, you can make them read about something, but sometimes you just need to ask that question for it to come alive or become relevant to what you're doing.
And it can also be intimidating. You know, it's, It just seems like an awful lot, and it can be overwhelming. But I would tell anyone, do not be overwhelmed and do not feel like you cannot ask. Even ask the most essential question, do I really need your services? I would not be offended by that. And I'm, because the J in the name of my business, we have to include the word the, is the J standard. And the J standard in my business, the J stands for Jesus. And I try very hard to operate on a high level of accountability. That stated, if I don't think I'm good for someone, I'll tell them, and I'll make a referral. And if I don't think that they're ready to have a campaign, I tell them. But that's the kind of, I mean, hopefully that's what people will move beyond their concerns and fears and seek that type of information. Some people hire PR people just for flossing. I don't think you need one. If you're going to floss, it's going to show off, but I could find a lot of ways to spend my money other than that. But I will just tell people, do not be overwhelmed by the process. It is natural if you want to grow. It's a part of the growth, so to pursue it and at least ask all the questions. You have every right in the world to ask any practitioner a question.
Hey, Robin, what are some of the type of companies that you've worked with?
Oh my goodness! Recently, I've worked with. In the most recent past, I've worked with cause-related projects. For example, I just finished the Tide to Greatness tour. It's an 11-city tour, and a national initiative to get inner-city boys, to young teen boys, to understand not only the historical relevance of guarding their appearances and their images, but also to reposition, flip the notion that they need to pull up their pants. They're told all the time to pull up their pants. It obviously has not worked. They needed another way to hear it. And the way that we have them hear it is through speakers, men in the profession, men in many cases who come from the inner city as well, who deliver a message that essentially says, you know what, there was a moment in my life where I had to make the connection between the way I look and the response I received from other people. So that was probably, that's my most recent huge campaign. I was the PR consultant on that. I worked as a consultant to the founder of the Show Me the Way Foundation in Atlanta. Her name is T. Menefee, a wonderful, wonderful young woman that runs probably the only minority pediatric AIDS foundation in the country. And she does annually a hot event called Runway Red, which is a celebrity kids fashion show. And the role I played as a consultant is essentially helping her transition from being program-centric to becoming a foundation that is grant funding. And I work with Sister Faith, which is one of my favorite projects, and that's through author Marilyn Griffith. And Sister Faith is a series of books on the order of, like, Chicken Soup for the Soul, faith books except for women, except they're a little raw. And I say that they're raw because the stories are not all pretty. And that was the point, to show essentially the pretty, unpretty stories that a lot of pretty women are carrying in their souls so that we can relate and make friends with and sisters out of other women who sit beside us in the pews, who sit beside us in the office. That's going to be a tour next year, but I absolutely love that project. I've worked on a number of book projects. As a journalist, I use my editing skills through my company to offer editorial services, and I've critiqued I don't know how many manuscripts for publishing houses and authors. I edited a book by Pat George A. Walker called Cruising for Desperation, and Pat ended up, I think she entered the Essence bestsellers list last summer at number 3.
Wow.
So that was a really special thing for me. Oh, my goodness.
What would you say is the most unusual business you've done work for? Most unusual type of business?
oh, gosh. I don't really think I have one. I think I've had some hard pitches where I've been in a position where I probably as a younger and a little less an experienced freelancer, I would take clients because I didn't know any better. I'd go, okay. And so as a result, I'd end up taking on a project that not only was outside of my skill set, but 9 times out of 10, something that was not publicity worthy. And so I can't think of just any one thing, but I've had, I mean, I've worked with my very first client. My first real client was Catherine Dunham, the famed anthropologist choreographer.
Yes.
And I did. I started actually as a cause-related celebrity-driven publicist. And that was actually in a public relations capacity. I reformed the board of directors of her museum in East St. Louis, Illinois. And not only did I reform the board, restructure the board, I did publicity work for the Children's Dance Workshop. And so coming out the gate, I think I laugh about this, you know, not very many first-time publicists or PR practitioners have the privilege of being quoted on the front page of the New York Times. And so there was a story done about the blight and the problems in East St. Louis, and there was a focus on what she was doing, and I was interviewed by the journalist. And so that was the very first thing I did. It's sort of like running a Boston in your first hand, a Midwest. It's like, how many times is that going to happen? And then the very next client of any national of importance would be Barry White. I did work for Barry White. He actually had a side business where he actually promoted concerts, and he promoted a tour. In my area, in my region, I did PR work, which involved everything from finding the radio station to serve as the flagship, making sure that the press was there. And so that leads me back to your original question. I can honestly say that one of the hardest things I ever had to do is that most PR people are the ones that I feel that are born to do it. We tend to be long-suffering with people. And very pretty perky. I was always the perky black girl that people either loved or hated. And for that particular tour, there was a reggae group, and I had the unfortunate experience of boarding the tour bus and being greeted with all this marijuana smoke, which made me dizzy. And so not only that, they were unprofessional because I established a number of appearances and interviews for them, and they were taking their time, and I had a driver and a car for them, and I'm trying to get them from each venue to do their, because I had TV cameras, everything showing up. And so when I was in the limo, they were in the back basically talking really poorly about the city and about some things that were going on. And I turned around, much to the chagrin of the radio station program directors. I mean, he just thought I lost my mind, and I was young. And I turned around and I told him, I said, you have a lot of nerve. And I just went off. I lost it. I told him, I said, you guys are on Columbia Records, right? I said, so is Bruce Springsteen and so is Michael Jackson, but guess what? Nobody has to beg them to do any interviews or anything. Why do I have to beg you? What did Columbia Records do for you? And the next thing I know, I made my new best friend, and they did everything I asked them to. I felt, and I was young again, and they would defer to me as the publicist. The publicist, let's talk to the publicist. And so I hated, and I was stewing in the front seat of this this limousine, because I had to get mad, you know, in order to get some cooperation. But by the same token, it was a growth experience for me in that, you know, I started to formulate who it is I wanted to be as a professional and what types of behaviors actually that I was to expect, especially when you deal with celebrities.
Yeah.
Some celebrities, some.
Yeah, I can't imagine, because I also deal with entertainers and artists on all different levels, and it does take some management. And, you know, in different industries, I find in entertainment have different cultures. So, and that's part of, you know, just, you know, learning how to manage. But it is, you do definitely have to set a tone. But I guess my next question just would be, what do you feel is your funniest? What's the funniest PR or publicity moment you had?
Oh, my gosh. That would be one, but it would be one a most recent experience I had. Actually, two brief ones. The first leg of Tide to Greatness, or the kickoff, was Harlem. And one of the speakers for the event is a man that I adore. His name is E2 Evans. And E2 is, if for your listening audience, E2 is a major, mostly behind the scenes, but he's well known in the design industry, fashion industry, as a shoe designer. And he's designed shoes for people like Sharon Stone, Madonna, Beyonce, Patti LaBelle, Steve Harvey. I can go down a long list of his custom shoe clients. Well, I'd never met E2 face-to-face, and I had to greet him because that was part of my job, was to greet the celebrities. And I saw him, and I went, oh, my God, E2 Evans. I said, I have a list of things to do before I die, and you're one of them. Well, it was the way that I said what I said, and I'm around primarily men. And there was this, and I'm also in Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. And so there was this hush, this quiet, like, tension, like, what in the heck did she just say? And I happened to turn and look at someone's face, and I reheard my words in my head. And I went, no, I don't want to do you. I mean, I need a pair of your shoes before I die. And I kept stepping further and further in it, which is a lesson for everyone. I don't even claim perfection, but I'll tell you what that moment did. Me showing my humanity and my frailty made me some very good friends. And because people, especially in entertainment, and people who are high-powered, they always look for sincerity. And, I mean, I was so embarrassed. I turned red. And it's so easy for me to turn red, but that was one moment where I turned red. And E2 now is one of my friends, but I'm also going to do PR consulting for his nonprofit, which is Soulsville.
The wow, second that's Sunday. Great. That
is it is great. I made a great friend out of that one moment. Let's see. The second funniest thing happened last summer, and which will also be kind of an unusual thing for me, and that is I did my first red carpet, and I'd never done a red carpet before. And probably an hour before I had to show up at the venue for the awards show, I closed all the curtains, turned off the TV in my hotel room, I hung up my phone, cut off all the phones, and I literally climbed in the bathtub and sobbed like a baby and begged God, please, please do I have to do this when I'm scared. Now, I've been 20 years into this game, and for whatever reason, I was overcome by fear because it is a very different type of function of PR, or publicity, I should say. And I overcame, and I sucked it up, and I got to the event, and I escorted my client on the red carpet. In fact, my client was the darling. My client got the most attention. It was the most beautiful thing for me to have been the first time. However, when I was being seated on the inside, I was separated from my client, which is not unusual, and that's fine. But I was sitting with one of her bodyguards. And the bodyguard, well, let me go back. While we were on the carpet, there was this man, he's like 6'5", 6'6". He's a hip-hop publicist for a record company. And he told me to move my client on, and he said it in such a rude way. And I was about to comply, and then I saw how he was trying to treat me like a bully. He was bullying me. I turned to him, and I pointed over my shoulder to a man on the other side of the carpet, and I said, you see that brother over there? I said, he's got a gun. And I said, he's the only one up here with one. I said, you see the one next to me? That would be the other one with a gun, and they both are with my client. no, I'm not saying anything to my client. I said, but you're welcome to. And he just looked at me like, oh, my. And there's a lot of that in my business, a lot of bullying. But once I got inside, it got better because my feet were, I looked down the row, and I thought these guys looked familiar. Well, I am a hip-hop fan, but I'm not entrenched in it. And I'm old school. I look down, and I'm sitting with the Cash Money crew. And I have on my little black blend in the background, publicist suit. And I'm sitting next to this guy, this bodyguard who's also blending. And what was so funny was one of the guys in the Cash Money crew just took to me. He was like, he kept asking me a ton of questions, and I go, no, yes, no. And we ended up having a really good conversation. Well, bless his heart, he took off his bling. He took off his necklace, and he took off his watch and put it on me, and then he took a picture of me and all that. And he said, all that's you, right? And I said, no. I said, I think this thing on my wrist would feed Rwanda. And I said, this thing around my neck to feed half the starving children in Atlanta. And he started laughing. He said, yeah, boo, that's what it's supposed to do. It's like a savings account, if you will. Well, then finally he asked me, well, who are you here with? And I told him. And this guy jumps up and goes, and he cusses. And he says, does anybody in this blankety blank know who that is? I'm going to have one more drink, and I'm going to tell everybody. And I turned to the bodyguard, and I said, you know something's about to pop off, right? And the bodyguard couldn't even contain himself because I said it very calmly. But he looked in my eyes and was like, what the heck is going on around here? You know, this guy really got excited when he found out who I escorted. just the fact that he was cussing and carrying on, he said he needed one more drink so he could help spread the word so that people can go pay homage to my client. And I went, okay. I'm scared. But, yeah, I've had some really good experiences. I don't mind telling them in this venue, but I rarely tell young publicists and I rarely tell my interns that those types of things because I want them to do this because they love it. And not because they think they're going to have an opportunity to do the same exact thing or whatever. When I started this, I had no idea that I would do a red carpet at, of all places, the BET Hip Hop Awards.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And but I don't do it for that, thank God. I do it for other reasons. But I just want people, and that's another thing I would tell the listeners, is when you choose your practitioners and your consultants, there is something about, they have fire in their eyes and in their bellies. They have, you see the passion they have for their craft. That's the person you want. When they talk about the craft like they're talking about their man or woman, that's the person you want. You don't want anybody who can't translate that passion into a passion for your particular business or your cause or whatever project it is that you're trying to promote.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have the passion, and though I've never met you in person, it's articulated, so through your writings and how you present yourself. I think sometimes people feel because we're online, we have the ability to hide. But sometimes I think online can be more revealing than anything because someone's not just looking at your appearance, but when you're watching what someone says and, in a sense, how they move. And it hasn't even been intentional for me. It's just, you know, on Black Business Space, I've been on there a while. And a lot of us met in another place, and then we moved over to Black Business Space, and I've just realized, you know, people I've come to trust, and when different projects or things come up, the people who come to mind. And just recently, I think yesterday or the day before, someone didn't specifically ask, but they kept making a reference to something, to a person, and I had to let them know that I chose the person based on, you know, their movement, you know, the way they move, the way they, what they said when they, you know, how Black Business Space people come on and they ask you to greet a new person that comes in, what you say, and the content of what you say, and what you have to offer if you participate in forums, and your personality is amazing and still shows through. And I hadn't really conversed with you too much, but I followed you, probably one, because I've been looking for a PR person. There was one person I was considering, but something told me, while I thought they were excellent at what they did, I just didn't feel that they would fit. I didn't know yet if they would click with what I did. And what I'm realizing is that's important too, you know. And
oh, absolutely. You need chemistry. Yeah. I mean, it is a relationship. And granted, I don't think that all of our business relationships should be personal or should be familiar with everyone, but I think there should be a comfort level because you want to discuss things back and forth in a safe environment. You don't want somebody to berate you or put you down or make you feel like you're stupid. You know, as a client, and I know as a practitioner, I really don't need anybody to treat me like that because I will cut them off. But I think that it's a relationship that is win-win. And so you treat it with a special fragility, a special tenderness, as you would treat somebody you love and
definitely. And I think the one thing that clicked for me, you know, other than, you know, you providing good information, and I'm a person that looks at structure too. So when you started the, one, you joined my Media Mix group, and then you started the PR group, and you did start off with a definition. And I just think it's important whenever you start something, you have to define it because that allows people, you know, to know where to go and how tells them how you want them to interact. So, you know, you start off with a good definition, and then you pose the question, and that directed, okay, this is how we should interact, and this is what we can offer, you know, to the group. But when I spoke to you about what I did, what the Master Grill Project is about, you got it. And that probably was definitely the winning factor for me. And you have knowledge of the spoken word industry. And when I say that I want to create a viable industry for clients, in which I get a lot of times from a lot of different people because of their non-exposure to spoken word or a very linear view, which, you know, I understand is one of my hurdles. That made a difference. And so I just want to thank you for being you. It's just been a great week for me. Yesterday I had Eddie. Her business is The Fabulous Black Woman. She has a line of hair care items. And she's a person whose vibrancy just jumps off the page. She's such a vibrant person, and the things she says just jumps off the page. And you're the same way. You can tell you always have a smile.
Oh my, thank you so much. And, you know, I want to say this. The greatest public relations campaign is the person who fronts the effort. And not so much, you can put a lot of money in the strategy, whatever, but the bottom line is who represents what. And I feel the same about you. But in terms of Black business space, and trust me, I've been around a lot of people, and he knows this, but Lee is the best spokesperson and front person, the best public relations consultant his entity could ever have. And just by him providing a warm environment, it means the world to me. It means that there is a place for me. Especially, you know, I have a service, I work in the service industry, so I look at what I do a little differently. I look at it as something compatible to what other people do, but I just view it very differently. And for him, I feel as a person embraced, as a business owner embraced. And you know, I felt like my thoughts are valued. And I think I'm going to, if I have to tell people to do anything, make sure, again, that you hire people that not only guard your business that way, but capture your vision that way and send it out like that to the public.
Yes, I definitely feel that's vital. And some things you don't really realize, I mean, and it just clicked to me. You know, I did decide that I wanted to work with you. I mean, I've known for a while I needed a PR and publicist. I mean, it's part of my business. And I know how to do a lot of it, but I can't do everything. And it's always wise in business to hire your professionals, you know. You don't need to be your own accountant. You know, you can do some accounting work, but you still should have an accountant or retainer to at least structure your books for your quarterly report.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So that same type of thing. But I think what has been slowing me down, and it just clicked to me when I spoke to you the other day when you caught it. I was like, wow, she's the only person I've spoken to that understands what it is I'm working to do, what my goals are, and understand the industry I'm speaking of. So
part and parcel
now I feel comfortable that you can help articulate it because you understand it.
And that's because I have a client who is a spoken word artist, who's a poet as well. And but he's also like my nephew. We call each other nephew and auntie. And understanding, wrapping my brain around what he does, it made it very easy to understand what you do and understand the viability, which leads me to another factor, something you want in your PR person, in your publicist, is one that understands a variety of business things so that they're not stuck on one model. I mean, I understand, I read the newspaper, I understand the culture. So I do love spoken words, and I think I shared that with you, that I'm learning to love it more.
Yes.
Because I have a vested interest in it, obviously, but I do think...
And that was just so important to me, and I didn't even realize it till afterwards. Because I said, well, you know, she's really good, and this and that, and, you know, and I said, well, because there was another woman I was really considering, and I really liked her work. I didn't know what was kept holding me back, and it wasn't until after I spoke with you I realized it. I said, well, Robin got it. She understands what I do. She understands the feeling. She has a direct example to compare it with. And so I didn't have to do all that explaining, or even if I said it, a lot of times people, you know, you can tell when people don't quite get it. They just don't say anything. So I didn't feel like part of my job would be bringing you up to speed on what the industry is, you know, who's out there and how it works. So,
and that it is indeed an industry.
Yeah,
and that's what most people don't
understand. Yeah, and most people don't look at spoken word as an industry, and that's part of the marketing objective of the project. You know, that's one of the main objectives. So, I do want to ask one quick question because we've got 2 minutes to close. But it's something you brought up while you were speaking about the bullying and all. Women in this field, is it, you know, I know women in a lot of fields, when you go up against men, you have, you know, that's always a battle. But is that an extra battle here? Is this is the field heavy with men, or is it heavy with women, or?
It depends. Entertainment, publicity tends to be more hardcore and crazy in that everybody's competing for something. And you will meet people who are looking at your client as their next client. You will have people who will say that they are your client's consultant or publicist because that's what people do. I mean, it's unfortunate, but you do bump heads with people. In terms of women, let me say this. The actual profession of PR was at one time inundated by men. It's a discipline that was founded by a man. And so most of the men that worked in the area, former journalists or what have you, were men or advertising men and who converted to PR.
Okay.
My four mentors, I have three men and one woman. The three men are all two Jewish men and a non-Jewish man who have done well in PR. And the woman is a black woman who has not only mothered me but taught me ethics, the whole nine. it has moved to being primarily women. And then you have niches, and we never talked about the various forms of PR and publicity, but there are niches. And, in again, entertainment is primarily women in some parts of that entertainment. When you get to hip-hop, you might find 50-50 men and women.
Okay.
Fashion, it is probably, again, it's probably about 60-40 men to 40% women in fashion. Caddy, it's every bit as competitive. It just, again, it depends on what the niche is or the area. And, yeah, you do have problems sometimes with women getting along with each other. But it's almost in any industry, and it's unfortunate, but it is. And if I
problems sometimes with the men thinking, you know, their own look of women, or since it's so heavily female-dominated now that women garner more respect.
It's almost expected that your publicist is a woman. There's an attractiveness factor that goes with being a publicist, not necessarily within, that's evident in PR consulting, but it's the same in publicity, especially with entertainment. There's an attractiveness that a lot of the males who hire the consultant, they require. They want the hot one, or they want the cute one. And trust me, not everything that says that is cute, that says she's a publicist is necessarily a publicist. But yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, the dynamics are interesting in terms of between women. But I will say this: the women in my world right now are I'm with some of the most dynamic women who have some of the greatest clients, and honestly, I'm honored to be their colleague. So, and I only make referrals in those directions because I know them and I know what their not only their skill level is and competency levels are, but I also know they don't bring drama with them. Mm-hmm. I call my space the no drama zone.
Well, Robin, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the Media Mix Live, and it's pure tea marketing madness.
I promise not to be, if you ever have me back, I promise not to be as awkward. And I do thank everyone for listening and bearing through my hay fever and my stuffy nose. And I thank you so much, Jackie, for having me.
Well, we thank you. You have been a wealth of information and an area I think many of us need clarity. And it definitely help us to make better decisions, be better business people, and, you know, to understand because there are a lot of people out there who really aren't professionals, who offer you work and, you know, offer to do things for you. And I do think when it comes to your publicity and PR, that's an area where you really want to make sure you hire the right person. Because you can look at, you know, that's an area where you can read about and get a definition, but that's where just experience and know-how really plays a major part. You know, I mean, the book learning, you know, can't cover the, you know, just a person, you know, what you make her read about publicity and PR does not cover the know-how, and a lot of it is contact and knowing how to interact with people. That is just so key, and that's the one thing I would suggest that you evaluate in your publicist and PR, that how do they interact with people, and do they know? And you need to know, you know, how to deal with people. And that's why I'm always scared when people make blanket statements, especially if they're dealing with people, because people aren't the same way all the time. And even I know as a person, marketing is my thing and sales. And I know that I'm going to do whatever I can do to please you, and however you want information or whatever is the best way to address you, then that's what I'm going to find out how you want to be presented, what works best for you before I present to you, so that you always look at me in a good light. And so that's just really important. And we just thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. We know if this had been a consultation, this would have cost us a lot of money.
Oh, wow. Was I helpful? If anybody wants to answer me on my page, please let me know if I was indeed helpful.
Okay. So please let Robin know if she has provided value for you. Now, there are several ways we can do this. We're always about supporting one another. So definitely if you're looking for a PR or publicist, please consider Robin. You can understand more about the J Standard, what that is, by visiting www.jstandard.com.
Oh, it's the J Standard.
Oh, the website is the J Standard?
TheJStandard.com.
Okay, so I will make all those corrections on links. So that's www.thejstandard.com, and that's TheJStandard.com. And if you had any links that went bad, I will go back and correct them all. And you can her pictures there. You can learn about what the company do, the services that are provided, and how to contact her. And as well, you can drop her a note. Now, on blackbusinessspace.com, that's blackbusinessspace.com. Come on over there. If you're not a member, just join. You can fill out a profile in about 5 minutes. And then, again, just search in the search, just search for Robin Caldwell, and she'll come up. And leave her a comment and let her know if this interview has been of value. And also you can leave it right here at mastergrillradio.com here on Blog Talk right underneath the show. Please give us a rating, give us a nice 5-star, and let us know if it's been of value to you. And in this way, we will know how much. Just share with her. I know it's been of value, and I'm pretty sure you guys agree, but just let her know how it has helped you and how it's brought you clarity or if it's supported you in your outlook in your business and marketing. So I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we're going to close out here with Dreamcatcher by Master Griot artist Infinite Life. We just want to inspire you as we close out. This is Master Griot Radio, and as always, we speak for you peace and love.
We're all told as children that when we grow up, we need to go to college and get a good job. But all it seems that college did was just prepare us to get a good job, to be caught up in life's rat race, the hustle and bustle of hustling another dollar for profit, in which another profits, and by next payday, purses and wallets are filled with lint. And dream catchers become dream passers, allowing dreams to pass through clenched hands filled with sand, blowing along the winds of time for another's hands to grasp. See, because we are taught and told how to be good workers, but not how to make our dreams our goals. We are taught and told how to be good workers, but not how to make our dreams our goals. Because we have been led to believe that dreams provide empty stomach, shattered hearts, and broken promises or misses on opportunity for good job stability. Taught that fulfilling a dream comes on a wink and a prayer, but dare not become a lazy worker. Life becomes consumed by 10-hour work days, paid not your worth and wage, trapped in cubicle box like cage, trying to fit the standards of corporate America. And when you're all used up, they get rid of you, only to be faced with the dream you left on the shelf, not listening to self on how to make it work, but being influenced by other people's words, penetrating your psyche, believing that they're your own thoughts of. All life is about is just going to work. Work without a purpose is superfluous. You not fulfilling your dreams is cursing the ancestors, because their life lives on through you. And your dream is a piece of the puzzle to be construed, not concealed, but to be shared with all so that truth may be revealed. So get up off your butt and chase your dream. Get up off your butt and catch your dream. The illusion of life is not what it seems, and success comes with the attempt of your dream. So dream. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord for my soul to take.